Listen to Alan for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
So, and I literally, this is like, sounds like a whole, this is actually going in the catch up right now. I got Marion Print with me, by the way, today for the catch up. She's just hanging out. Hey, Marion.
Hey, how you going?
There you go. You're part of the catch up. Congratulations. I'll tell you, it's going to be a big catch up. I had a chat with Mark from the Moscow Circus and Consumer Protection, if I get my words out. Also talked about Coles Minis, a bit of an experience in regards to that. We also had a chat with Jamila Dawson in regards to what's coming out to the Bust and Dunster Mail. Tegan, who was eliminated from Survivor, we'll chuck that in there as well. A few other goodies as well. Sit back and enjoy the catch up with your pants on or not. It's optional. Judgment free.
Is that allowed?
Marion, I've got my pants on. It's the listeners listen to the catch-up that have to enjoy. Mark on the line from the Great Moscow Circus. How are you, mate?
I'm fantastic. A little bit wet, but apart from that, it's looking forward to starting the shows in Busselton.
Yeah, so 30th of August, it's all happening. Tell me, what can we expect to see?
Well, this time, every time we've been the Moscow Circus to Australia, it's a brand new show. It's the Moscow Circus Extreme this time, which gives you that wow factor to the show. We have flare riders, we have highway walkers, single trapeze, silks, very, very funny clown, Wheel of Death, the giant globe with the motorbikes in it. So it keeps people on the edge of their seats for over 2 hours.
The Wheel of Death, what's that?
It's a guide basically jumping on a steel wheel with two ends of it, which goes around and around.
Oh.
Been seen shows before. And he's on the inside and the outside. I can't even stand on the inside of it on the ground, let alone in the air.
Yeah. What's your role in the circus? I imagine you have many.
Our family, the Edgley family, has been bringing the Moscow Circus to Australia since 1965 now. And so it's a family business. We work very closely with the Weber family, who are fantastic friends of ours and our business partners in this particular tour. We basically we do everything. I mean, when you're on tour of the circus, you do everything from pull the tent up to pull it down. Help with I'm not actually in the show. My wife's a performer. She's actually from Belarus.
Mm-hmm.
She's the entertainer. She's the performer. I just want to get to there and talks a lot.
What does your wife do?
She's a gymnast, so she basically does the trampoline.
Yep.
And a thing called the Russian swing.
Oh, very, very cool.
Yeah, so she's basically brought up, obviously, in Belarus and been a gymnast. She's done Russian bar, teeterboard, many things.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that you've got some stories being in the circus industry for so long. Give me one. Give me some juicy, juicy story. What have you got for me in the circus life?
Oh God, I wouldn't know where to start. I mean, we've dealing with the Russian people. It's a very passionate. I mean, we had the many years ago, we had the monkeys out here, and the gentlemen, and if the monkeys get sick, the guys literally live with their monkeys and basically stay with them until they get better. We did have a time where a monkey did get sick, so we brought one of the monkeys back to the hotel, and we got in a bit of trouble for that. But it's. And the Russians are fantastic fishermen. They love their fishing. And I do remember a time where they love catching carp. And we were in a motel once. They caught lots of carp, put it in the bath, and then left town. So I got a phone call from the motel saying, guys, I think your guys have left a lot of carp in the bath. If you can come back and get it up. Oh, my God. But you know, when you're traveling with these people, it's a very... We travel as a family, you know. There's lots of good stories. It's a hard life. It's an interesting life. We are a traveling town almost, or a traveling community, and we're very close. And it's very important to be positive and happy and being able to do what you got to do.
Absolutely. I did hear rumors, like, I don't know if you've heard about the Southwest Cougar, if you've heard anything about this, but one of the rumors is that a touring circus, somehow like a panther or a cougar or whatever animal it is, escaped, and that is the origin of this big, massive roaming cat in the Southwest. Have you heard anything about that? Or more importantly, have you lost a cougar?
No, we haven't lost a cougar, and we haven't lost any lions or tigers or bears.
Oh my.
We've lost a few. It's like the movie Water for Elephants, where they three people off the top of the train to get rid of them.
Yeah.
We're not really like that.
No.
That's the old-fashioned days. Certainly, we're very friendly.
Well, if people want to go to the show, it looks like it's going to be massive. The Great Moscow Circus.com.au for tickets, information, all the times, everything you need to know. Mark, thanks for the chat today, mate.
Thank you. And you can also buy tickets at the box office on site too.
Excellent. Mark there from the Great Moscow Circus. For full details, thegreatmoscowcircus.com.au. Going to be hitting up Busselton starting tomorrow and then Bunbury shortly after that. So look out for that. Hey, this is very cool. I saw this in the UK. A great way to raise money. Great fundraiser. Introducing the new way to do it. Forget about the chocolate charities. Forget about the raffles. It's now all about Gravy Wrestling. Yes, you heard right. Gravy Wrestling raising thousands of dollars in the UK. It's almost like the WWE, like the pro wrestling kind of thing. They fill up a big, massive pile of tarps with gravy, and then they just wrestle in it, and people cheer them on, take bets, and have a bit of a laugh at the same time. I will be honest, it's that UK kind of gravy where it's just pretty much like brown water. In Australia, I feel like we do our gravy a little bit better. Yeah, I said it. But just if you want to raise money, maybe that's the next way to go about it. Now that I say it, I'm actually thinking maybe Cliff Reeve, I can somehow con him into it. Well, then I'd have to see him covered in gravy. That's gross. I'll never eat it again. I'm going to ponder that. You ponder that as well. We'll get back. Last night on Survivor on Win, Tegan unfortunately sent home. She had had a couple of lives. She had survived a couple of eliminations, but unfortunately last night it was her last one. With that second last chance of a previous tribe getting to decide whether she would stay, whether she would go, unfortunately she had to go. Tegan's now on the line. Tegan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. I've got to be honest, you were my pick. We all decided at the beginning of the season who was going to win it, and Tegan, you were right up there, and you were definitely my pick. You've disappointed me a little bit, to be honest.
I'm sorry, mate. I'm sure I gave you lots of entertainment, though. I was basically like the alternate vote every single tribal council up until now. So
yeah, you most certainly were. I can't believe how many kind of second chances that you got. It was incredible.
I know. Who gets voted out three times? Like, yeah. It was definitely heart-stopping for me on all of those occasions, and I was so lucky to be given all of those lifelines.
Absolutely. Talk me through Exile Beach. How was that experience?
Oh, Exile was much, much worse than what was shown. It was very, very difficult. It was very isolating. It was very lonely. You know, being voted out of the game and then trying to figure out what went wrong. And I was on my own for 2 days. So, I mean, I know that doesn't sound like long, but when you're literally on your own, and everyone thinks there's cameras everywhere, but it wasn't like that. It was really, really tough.
Yeah, okay. I like the way that you dropped a few grenades on your way out, but I think that camp, the Champions Camp, will all be looking at each other after you left.
Oh, gosh. I really wanted to let loose much, much more, but the thought that you have to then maybe go back and work with these people if you are lucky enough to not go home, even though I knew it was me.
Yeah.
You know, I was holding back slightly. I actually wanted to call out Steve and Matty Rogers much more than what I did, but at that point I was trying to get them on side, so yeah. I couldn't really let rip too much.
No, you couldn't. And also, let's talk about that second last chance that you had. Did you expect to be saved? What was your mindset when you saw that come up?
Oh, gosh, it was such a shock. You know, I was so ready to just leave the game, and then all of a sudden there was this option, this like carrot dangling in front of me. Oh my gosh, maybe I might be able to stay. But, you know, I looked at Benji and he was avoiding me like a plague. He did not want to make eye contact. I knew there was no way he was going to save me.
No.
Robbie was looking at me with puppy dog eyes, like pleading, like almost saying sorry, and I knew he wasn't going to save me. So, I knew there wasn't much hope, but there's still a part of you that just is, you know, until you're taught to snuff, you know, you think you're in the game.
That's it. Well, thanks for the chat today. I appreciate it.
Okay, no worries. Thanks.
Busselton Dunsborough Mail comes out today, and a chat to me all about it is the Southwest editor, Jamila Dawson. Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you going?
Oh, yeah, you know, just rocking and rolling, you know. I'm busy. I don't know about as busy as you. You guys are always busy.
Yeah, it never stops.
You think that you've got done for the week and then it all starts up again. Cinefest, that would have kept you really busy.
Yeah, that's right. Our journo's had heaps of fun over the last few days going out to all the movie premieres and the director's lunches and all that sort of stuff. So we got heaps of photos in the paper about it.
That's excellent. So if anyone was out at any of these events, look out for themselves in the paper. Also, Vast Valley, a hemp farm, some good news for them.
Yeah, that's right. So last week, the state government announced a change to the hemp legislation. So we had a chat to them about what that means for their business.
Yeah, obviously good things. And four-wheel drive enthusiasts, some good news.
Yeah, that's right. So the city of Busselton has approved a development application to start up a four-wheel drive test track, and it'll be on Causeway Road.
Yeah, oh, by the Puma there.
Yeah, that's right. So the test track will be behind the new Puma petrol station on Causeway, and the developer is also setting up a new fruit and veggie farmers market on there too.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's some great news. Also in the paper, trying to regulate Airbnbs. Good luck.
Yeah, I know. So the Planning Minister, Rita Saffioti, has been in conversation with Grant Henley and Mike Archer from the City of Busselton, just hoping to maybe level the playing field a little bit.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's pretty hard for motels, hotels, and just, yeah, it's hard work. It's definitely hard work. Something needs to be done. And also, what's going on in the footy?
So it was the last round of the home and away season on the weekend, and the Busselton Magpies league team missed out on a final spot, but the Colts and reserves made it, so they'll be playing this weekend.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Jamila. I appreciate the chat.
No worries. Thank you.
And make sure to grab your copy of the Busselton and Dunsborough Mail out today and get those photos from Cinefest. And, yeah, just make sure you pick it up. And also, yes, condolences to the team that I got bailed out there. Now, I can't believe this is even happening, but there's been some reports of the shark signs that are currently up and yelling up, as they do have that shark advice. They're being stolen. I don't know why anyone would steal them, but supposedly they've had several signs stolen. Rangers have had to replace them. And if you're unaware of this and you happen to be one of the people out there to steal them, it can come with a $2,000 fine. So stop doing that. That is obviously extremely dangerous and stupid, and I can't believe that anyone would even do that. So yeah, stop that immediately, please, or $2,000 fine, and rightfully so. Coles mini collection, I've mentioned it a couple of times on the show. I did mention as well that I'm not collecting them, and I'm still not, for the record, in case you're wondering if I've just changed your gear. No, 100%. I am not collecting them. But in saying that, when I do go to the shops and I do spend over $30 and I get offered one, I always do accept it, because a lot of people here in the office are collecting them. I'd love to tell you that it's all mums and dads collecting them for their kids. It's not. There's like a 30-year-old man in the office that does collect them. I don't know why he collects them, but he does. It's a little weird. Anyway, I do collect them and I hand them to him. And the other day I was shopping and the woman in front of me, a lovely lady, turned around to me after she'd finished paying for all the groceries and said, I don't collect the Coles minis. Would you like mine? I'm like, yeah, like, you know, sure. So she hands me like 8 of them. So I don't know how much that means she spends. I'm not very good at maths here. But it means she spent a bucket load, basically. And so I had these 8 and then I got my 2. And as I'm leaving, so this lady, obviously, sweetheart, shout out to her. But as I'm leaving, another lady goes up to me and goes, how much did you spend? I'm like, this is so random. I'm literally leaving the shots. Like, how much did you spend? I'm like, what? I don't know. What? Okay, goodbye. And she's like, how'd you get so many? I'm like, oh my God. So I just walked past her. Is this where we're going? People are getting absolutely insane about this. I can't believe that someone would approach you and ask you how much you've spent in the shops to a complete stranger. People are getting nuts. So I just want to warn you, if you happen to be going to Coles anytime soon, you might experience something like that. Maybe just say no to them. I might just have to start doing that. It's getting dangerous out there. It's going to start getting into shady deals as well, where they're going to follow me to the car park and try and offer me deals to get my Coles minis, which I don't even want. It's getting crazy. Be careful out there, shoppers. Very careful. We've got Annetta on the line for Consumer Protection. Good morning, Annetta.
Good morning.
Plenty to talk about. I know you've been flat out. Let's first touch with this motorcycle scam. A family has gone to court.
They have. This is the last couple to go to court, and they were fined $10,000 after being found guilty of buying and selling. One of them purchased 56 vehicles and sold 53, mostly via Gumtree, and his wife bought and sold 30 vehicles as well. Neither had a license as required by the Motor Vehicle Dealers Act. In May, three brothers of the same person were fined $12,500 each for breaching the Motor Vehicle Dealers Act. They sold a total of 367 vehicles.
Yeah.
So that's by far the most extensive illegal motor vehicle dealing investigation in the history of consumer protection. So it's been a big one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, geez. So many vehicles. Also, the ACCC are currently doing an investigation.
They did. They looked into AFL and NRL clubs and requested that make changes to their returns and refund policies regarding their merchandise sales because they weren't complying with the Australian consumer law. So it's really important that people do know what their rights are. If a foot fan buys a piece of merchandise that has a major failure, then they're entitled to a choice of refund or replacement.
Mm-hmm.
The ACCC's investigation showed that from at least April, the 21 clubs have made claims in their returns and refund policies that were misleading. That's them saying things like the items have to be unworn, they have to have been purchased at full price, and they have to be returned within a specific time frame with the original proof of purchase. And that's simply not the case.
Okay, yeah. So, and that, you say 21 clubs?
Yes.
Wow. Like, yeah. Okay. That's a lot of them. We won't start trying to figure out who. I was just going to blame Freo, but geez, it could be anyone. Netta, thank you so much for that. And obviously people just need to keep that in mind if they are thinking about buying club merch.
Sure. And just to know that your rights are not limited to a specific time period. If goods are on sale, that doesn't limit your rights and you can't have products excluded from the Australian consumer law.
There you go, some handy tips. Thank you very much, Annetta.
Thank you.
Annetta there from Consumer Protection, some great advice there. I had no idea about the merchandise thing. I'm going to go through all my Hawthorne stuff and check it out. You didn't want to hear that. You're just going to tell me to bin it. I'm not going to bin it.
Al's Furry Pals. Thanks to Bunbury and Eaton Vet Clinics. Modern medicine, compassionate care.
I'm now joined by Dr. Braden, and today we're talking about, well, as the seasons begin to change, we see a lot more things put out there to take care of pests and whatnot. Snail pellets is one of the big ones. I hate thinking about this, but when a dog stumbles across them and eats them, I've seen episodes of Bondi Vet where you see the dog in shock. What can we do? Like, what's some advice we've got for today?
I mean, snail pellet poisonings, I absolutely hate these, and we see so many of them over springtime because everyone's trying to get their garden looking good. They put out the snail pellets, and dogs being dogs, they go and have a taste of a few. And these pellets are nasty, basically. Now, one of the things that we find happens is people go to the hardware store, see the snail pellets that says pet friendly, or it's got some bittering agent, and they think that's going to be safe. They're not. And particularly if you've got a Labrador or some dog that loves scoffing everything, dogs will eat these pellets no matter what it says on the packet. So the moral of the story is really no snail pellets are pet safe. You've always got to assume that if the dog eats them, they're going to have problems. So most of the snail pellets on the market actually affect the nerve impulses, and it's basically makes the dog's muscles contract continuously. And so they salivate a lot, they seizure, they struggle to breathe. It's a horrible poisoning. So really, if you've got dogs, you don't use snail pellets. So really, we should be looking at using alternatives. So one of the best alternatives, if you want something a bit of a passive sort of treatment, is beer traps. So basically getting a plastic cup, or not a plastic cup if you want to really look out for the environment, popping a bit of beer into it. Obviously don't use the good beer because you don't want to waste that.
Yep.
And snails are attracted to that, so they'll basically crawl into the cup. So bury the cup at ground level. Snails fall in and drown, and I guess they drown in quite a nice way, so that's probably the nicest way for if you're going to go, you might as well go
say,
like that.
If you say so.
Looking for an ethical reason way to do this.
You really are. You're kept with our environmentalists with the plastic and the beer for the snails.
Yep.
That's great. What else is there?
Also just going out after rain, because that's really when your snails are active. So going out after rain and picking them up and physically removing them from the garden. So that's really what you need to be doing. It's unfortunately there's no easy solution to snails. You've got to go out there and do the hard work.
Yep.
Don't buy the snail pellets if you've got pets or your pets might have access to your yard, because they can have problems. And if you're concerned that your pet has eaten pellets, get them to your vet really, really quickly, because if we can make the dog vomit or we can wash its stomach out, then we can quite often save hours and hours of really intensive treatment.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Well, thanks for the advice there. It's great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Anyway, I want to talk about Donald Trump for half a second. He is not happy, and he's not happy with a search engine. He said this.
I think Google is really taking advantage of a lot of people, and I think that's a very serious thing, and it's a very serious charge. I think what Google and what others are doing, if you look at what's going on at Twitter, if you look at what's going on in Facebook, They better be careful because you can't do that to people.
Of course he's not happy. I'm not happy either. I actually tried it out and Googled Donald Trump. And you know what happened when I clicked Donald Trump on Google? I got pictures of Donald Trump, so I'm not happy either. I don't blame him. I would be very upset if I was him.